This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. My name is Beau Bennett.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Welcome to another episode of the Toastmasters Podcast. Ryan, what's up?
Well, we have another exciting interview in store today. We are speaking today with a distinguished Toastmaster, John Lenti. John's a member of the Augusta Toastmasters in Augusta, Georgia. He retired from the Air Force in 2014 and is now building a health and wellness business. And today, John is joining us to share his experience with us leading a high-performance leadership project. John's story was featured in an article in the April 2015 edition of the Toastmaster magazine entitled Push Yourself with High Performance Leadership. John Lenti, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, John.
Thank you, Ryan and Beau. It's great to be here.
Great to have you with us.
Yes.
So, John, many of our listeners, I'm sure, have never even heard of the High Performance Leadership Project before. So for those who have not, or those who maybe need a refresher, could you start off just kind of giving us a little overview of what the High Performance Leadership Project is all about?
I'd be glad to. The High Performance Leadership is really the Eagle Scout project of Toastmasters. The Competent Leadership Manual teaches the basic fundamental skills of leadership, you know, listening, management, team building, motivating, all of these things. And the High Performance Leadership Project is the capstone of your leadership development. Whereas competent leadership goes through at the club level primarily just working on your individual skills, but it's all fairly proscribed because it's the same 10 project format as the Competent Communication Manual. High Performance Leadership Project is a much broader scope and really puts a lot more on the Toastmaster to develop and figure out what the Toastmaster wants to do. It's very open-ended, where you just pick something you want to accomplish, some leadership goal you have in mind, form a committee of trusted advisors, and you start working on it. And rather than, you know, a few check blocks and signatures, and as you find in the Competent Leadership Manual, this is a months long adventure of discovery and leadership and failure and success that all comes together, hopefully, with a positive outcome.
Are there any limitations on what you can do according to Toastmasters International?
According to Toastmasters, it has to be legal, ethical, and reflect well upon the Toastmasters name.
All right.
That's pretty broad, though. I mean,
exactly.
Giving you a lot of leeway there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people tend to use the HPL, and I'm going to give us all permission to use the acronym HPL from
Great.
Here on out if we choose to do so for the sake of expediency. But a lot of people use that for something internal within Toastmasters, and your story particularly resonated with me because you and many others chose to use it in a way to serve the community, and we'll get into the details of that momentarily. But before we do, John, there was a statement in your article that I found particularly provocative, and I wondered if you could unpack it for us a little bit. You say that one of the most underrated, you call the High Performance Leadership Project one of the most underrated and misused opportunities for self-development and servant leadership that Toastmasters International has to offer.
Yes.
Please do tell us a little more.
Alrighty. In my experience in Toastmasters, which has been about 12 years, I've met and worked with countless DTMs and advanced Toastmasters, and I hate to say, but many, I won't necessarily say most, but many of those who are working towards the Distinguished Toastmaster rank use the HPL as the very last thing. They do all the speeches, they do the projects, they do the area governorship, and then they come, it's like, ugh, now I've got to do my HPL. It's a chore, it's a labor, it's just one more hurdle to overcome in order to get the Distinguished Toastmaster Award. And I think many people don't see it as the wonderful opportunity to grow and to develop oneself that it really is intended to be. And so often I've seen, you know, these Toastmasters who groan and grumble about it. They say, well, I'll put on a speech contest at the club level in there. That'll count. Or they say, you know, I'll organize our club Christmas party in there. That'll count. And then they get their, you know, their fellow Toastmasters to sign it off real quick, and they miss the learning chance. They missed the chance to grow and to discover these things about themselves. So when it came time for my high performance leadership, and admittedly, it was the very last thing I needed to do because I honestly didn't understand it. So I ordered the manuals, I studied them, and I realized, wow, this is something phenomenal. I've got a pretty strong scouting background, and that's why I compared it to the Eagle Scout Project, which is, you know, the major leadership project for, you know, young men who are aspiring to achieve the highest rank in scouting. And here, this was designed for, you know, anyone who wants to accomplish something, and it gives them the tools and the coaching and the mentoring framework so that they're not just venturing off into the ocean saying, hey, learn to build a boat while you're out there. It's, here's your boat, now go sail it. Where are you going to go with it? And that was the attitude I took with it as I began my HPL.
And thus you probably got a lot more out of it than a lot of people who didn't take it quite as seriously. Now, I have not completed the HBL myself. I do have a copy of the materials for it, and I've looked through it extensively. I've served on the committee for someone who did an HPL project.
Great.
And to me, and I've seen people, if I can use this expression, phone it in, so to speak.
Yep.
But to me, when I saw it, I had the same response as you. It was more like, this looks such a great opportunity. I don't want to waste it. I want to find something worthy of this project so I can really learn and grow from it. But I'm wondering, in your case, John, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And what I mean by that is, you found a problem in your community, specifically in your son's school, and saw a leadership opportunity. Did you find that and then say, hey, I could use the HPL project as a way to structure it? Or were you kind of looking for an opportunity to find a project for the HPL?
The egg came first, I think. I was ready to do my HPL, and I had a very short list of projects I wanted to do. One was, you know, creating a competitive blood drive and charity zombie walk. I mean, I shoot pretty big, and that's one of the things I've learned about myself as a leader, is that I almost always bite off more than I can chew. But that's the way I learn my limitations and the limitations of time and resources and those around me. So I had the manuals, and I had my short list of ideas, and then I sat in that meeting, you know, described in the beginning of my article, and the coach said, hey, look, it's about to all go down. You know, it's sink or swim time, do or die. I mean, every cliche came out, you know, being an athletic, you know, environment that it was. And right there, I just felt it. I mean, it was almost divine providence guiding me, saying, this is your HPL. And I realized I've got the tools to help me through it, because I've never done anything like that. Yeah, as you saw in my article, I've never really been involved in the booster clubs. I've always been pretty busy with my career. And when they say, hey, can you volunteer for this? I might, you know, drive somebody somewhere. But this was the chance to really step up and provide the leadership that the other parents needed to make sure that our son's team survived.
Right, right. So let's kind of back up and get into some of that story a little bit more of the actual genesis of your project, which started with this problem at the school. So can you kind of paint the picture for what was going on at your school in terms of the wrestling program, and then, you know, how you kicked off your project here to save the wrestling team?
Sure. The high school my son attends is a new school. It's only been around for 5 years, and this was at the fourth year of the school. And being a new school, the wrestling program was struggling to get off the ground. It had lost money all 4 years it had been around. Most of the athletic budget went, of course, to football and basketball and volleyball a little bit. And when you keep losing money on ticket sales, you don't, you know, recoup the investment in the mats and the singlets and the other equipment. And it was just a numbers game, really. It came down to it that both the swim team and the wrestling team had been just hemorrhaging out money for years. And the swim team, we don't even have a swim pool at the school. So they were having to be bused across town to the aquatic center, paying fees for that. And they, you know, of course, can't get concession sales off of that either. So they were losing even more money than we were. And the athletic director sat us both down, both being the wrestling parents and the swim team parents, and said, this is what it is. He gave us a fundraising program that we could both use selling raffle tickets, saying, here's one way it can help. So I'm not trying to just kick you off to the curb, but you've got to do something. And the wrestling team parents came together and we talked, and the swim team parents came together, but apparently they didn't have a leader emerge from their group, and unfortunately they folded this past year. But by putting us together and saying, hey, look, this is what we can do, I kind of outlined what I thought were the target areas for a booster club, because we'd never had one for the wrestling team. I think it was really the missing ingredient to the successful recipe of our team. But we got dedicated coaches that year, and now we had a booster club with leadership. We said, all right, we can provide transportation. We can provide, you know, food before and after and at events. We can head up concession sales. I even offered to start a mentoring program, a tutoring program for any, you know, the student athletes whose grades were starting to slip. But right there, the wrestling coach, who, of course, was a teacher, he let me know that was probably going too far, getting into the academics. Said, he told me that he would take care of the academics, but he just needed the support on the other side. So I was already trying to go too far, and he let me know where the boundaries were. So really, I met with the athletic director and two Toastmasters. A Toastmaster and my wife, whose input I really valued from different angles. And together we started moving forward through there.
When you were given this news, did they give you a deadline and say, look, this something has to be done within the next whatever? Or did they? Was it just kind of open-ended?
It was for that season. He let us know that they had cut every single away match so that we wouldn't be traveling anywhere. He let us know that we didn't have a bus budget. So if we had, you know, we had one tournament scheduled for about halfway through the season. And of course, it was away. And he said, you know, the parents were going to have to provide transportation to that. So he said, if we don't make it this one season on this very bare minimum of schedule, we're not going to make it at all. And because we did so well coming out of the gate, I mean, our first home event, not that we had any home wrestling events, but they gave us the concession sales for one of the football games, and we made hundreds of dollars with that. We started, you know, the rallying support at the events with, we got some merchandise sales with t-shirts and hats and shorts, and those did well. And we got attendance up at the away events. And then the coaches started realizing, okay, we can really do this. So we scheduled one home event, and again, we did very well with that. And we started building the community support by soliciting local community sponsors as well, who, you know, other businesses that could donate, you know, $50, $100 here or there. We got their logos printed on our shirts, you know, to give back to them in the advertising space. So the term was that one season. Could we make it or not? And if we didn't, well, there wouldn't be another season.
John, lots of times I've seen in organizations and projects that I've been involved with, often there are lots of people who are willing to be part of it, but not a lot of people who are willing to step up and take the lead. In terms of the other parents that were presented with this problem slash opportunity, how did you assert your leadership? Were you elected to kind of lead the wrestling booster club, or did you just raise your hand and say, hey, I'll take the lead, come follow me? How did that work?
I raised my hand and said, hey, I'll take the lead, come follow me.
Okay, cool.
No, I talked to the head coach and the director right there, and I said, I'm willing to lead a booster club. And they said, great, do it. So I had their blessing.
Yeah.
And that gave me enough authority to the other parents to say, I'm the head of the booster club. And nobody challenged it. There was no fighting for the kingship on this one. Because everybody wanted to do something, but they're all working parents. They've all got other kids, and they didn't have, you know, the time or the inclination or the wherewithal really to throw themselves into it as I did. They also didn't have the HPL manuals giving them that structure and guidance so that they would have to come up with it all on their own. So I kind of stepped up and said, I'm the head of the booster club. I never called myself president or anything like that. I just said, I'm the head of the booster club. But I took a very much a lead from behind stance on the whole thing. We met several times as groups of parents and teachers. And we said, all right, we need someone to head up concession sales. And one parent said, hey, I do that a lot for the football team. I'll do that. And I said, great, you're in charge of it. I said, we need someone to head up, you know, food for the for our team so that our wrestlers aren't starving after they weigh in. And another parent said, I'll do it. And another parent said, hey, I'll help out too. So those two became the co-chairs of these little subcommittees that we started to create. So it was the same process that I followed when I was a club president in Toastmasters. You know, when you have your vice president of education and PR and membership and everything else, they're in charge of those things. And you let them be in charge and you empower them and you give them all the credit and all the support they need with a little bit of guidance if they start to not quite, you know, fall in line with the vision you've set out. But otherwise, you just kind of let them go with it. And these parents rose to the challenge and they did great because I think it worked out because they didn't have to do everything. One parent, she was all over that concession stand. But ask her to do merchandising and transportation and other things, it would have been too much. But she could focus on that and the others. So just being able to let them focus on their thing, let other parents who said, hey, I'm glad to help out with anything, I said, okay, help out with concessions. And then you, since you're willing to do anything, you help out with transportation. Just giving them those assignments, because some people are just, they have enthusiasm, but they have no idea where to put it. So I provided that direction for those parents. I empowered those other parents who actually did have an idea of what they really wanted to do. And together, it just all happened well.
So tell us, what was the result of your project in terms of the objective, what you set out to do for the wrestling team?
Well, we raised several thousand dollars. We eliminated more than that in debts because I hate to say we cannibalized the budget, but since the swim team failed, the athletic director reallocated what was left of their budget to us, which eliminated more of the debt from the equipment from when we first set up 4 years ago. And the team, with the solid support of the community and the parents and the coaches and the school, went on to win two regional championships that year, as well as the following. We won the county and the regional championships as a team, and we did that again this year. And we are quickly becoming the team to beat in, you know, central eastern Georgia.
Now that is awesome. I mean, you saw a problem out there, you stepped up to leadership, you put a team together, attacked the problem, and you solved it. And now the community, the school has benefited from that. So, I mean, a smashing success for your high performance leadership project. But I also want to know, probably as important, if not more so, what did you learn from the process and how did you grow as a leader?
I learned, probably most importantly, that people need to be led the way they need to be led and not the way I want to lead them. The one size fits all approach really doesn't work as a leader. I'm sure we've all been led in ways that we didn't appreciate, had a boss or a manager or somebody who said, I want you to do it this way. And I said, well, hold on. Do you trust me to do it? If the answer is yes, then let me go do it. Now, if we lack the skills or the talent to do a job, yeah, give me more guidance. And it turns out that some of the parents needed me to be a little more hands-on than my kind of hands-off approach. They had the enthusiasm, but they also had never been involved in booster clubs. So when I said, great, you're part of this team, go, they wanted me to say, let's go, instead of, hey, go. And so some of them, honestly, some of the parents kind of fell away because they needed that support and I didn't know to give it to them. So throughout that 3.5 month process, I learned that I need to check in a little more frequently with the members, because those that are very competent and those that very much have it under control, they'll say, hey, thanks for checking in, I got this. And those that don't will say, hey, thanks for checking in. And then they'll have questions. They'll know that I'm interested and they'll know that I'm engaged. So that was a learning process for me to know that the way I think I'm leading isn't necessarily successful, even if I do get good results, because not everybody appreciates it and needs me to lead them that way.
John, one last question for you. Has the community erected a statue of you yet?
No, we're working. I got a design, but it wasn't approved. Okay. No, I kid. But the next thing, actually, is working on getting the wrestling team their own building. Because right now we meet in a leftover classroom that was actually supposed to be the detention hall. We had to fight to get that space back from the school saying, hey, we want to put kids in detention there. It's like, no, we need a team. We need a place to put our team. But then our team grew so big due to its success and aggressive recruiting efforts that they had to move into the cafeteria. So now every day during the wrestling season, they have to move all the tables away, roll out the mats, and they wrestle in the cafeteria. And then they have to set it all back up, you know, the next day for breakfast. So the next step really is to get a wrestling building on the school property. And that'll easily be $50,000, $60,000, which is a little more than, you know, we raise in a given year. So that'll be a new challenge.
Yeah, it sure will. Well, I figured with the cafeteria and the wrestling, you could kill two birds with one stone and have some dinner and wrestle at the same time. Or is that not really a good combination? I'm not feeling too well.
Yeah, you'll see that again.
Have liver sandwiches and wrestle at the same time. There you go.
Tag team with slices of pizza. Oh, boy.
All right, John. Where can people find out more information about you, what you're up to?
Well, you can see my LinkedIn profile on, well, LinkedIn.com. LinkedIn.com/in/ John Lenti, and I'm working on starting a brick and mortar business right now. My health and wellness business has been very much a network marketing, you know, person to person type thing. And now I'm working on setting up an actual physical store for trading card games and board games.
Oh.
So it's, again, a new venture for me. I've never done anything like it, and I'm really looking forward to the challenge.
Well, good luck.
We wish you well in that, John. Onwards and upwards. Thank you for your leadership, and thank you for sharing your story with us here today.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much for talking with me.
All right. You take care, John.
All right. Take care.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.